trading exchanges.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. When we talk about oil prices, a lot of times we get our numbers from the New York Mercantile Exchange, or NYMEX. Last year, NYMEX in London tried to go old school by opening a noisy trading floor, but today it's bagging that and going electronic. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, this is all about a company called ICE.
ICE stands for Intercontinental Exchange. It dominates trading of the benchmark Brent crude oil contract. NYMEX tried to compete by opening a traditional trading floor in London last fall, the kind where brokers stand in a pit shouting at each other. But analyst Harold Smith says customers preferred to trade electronically through ICE.
It really was a very short-sighted strategy.
Smith says by launching computer-based trading, NYMEX has a chance to catch up. But University of Houston finance professor Craig Perrong says it won't be easy.
NYMEX is not going to have a technology advantage. ICE is originally going to have the order flow advantage. I think it's going to be very uphill climb for NYMEX in London.
Here in the U.S., ICE is grabbing a bigger share of NYMEX's business by offering an electronic version of NYMEX's biggest oil contract. In response, NYMEX has launched its own electronic trading with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange while keeping its trading floor open. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The first order of business in Congress this week will be to approve $95 billion in emergency spending. The funding is for Iraq and hurricane cleanup on the Gulf Coast. Lawmakers somehow kept a lid on the amount of money in the final bill, and that could mean the death of some pet projects. John Dimsdale reports.
Deficit hawks called the bill a budget buster after senators tacked on an additional $14 billion for programs from border enhancement to port security to farm assistance. Almost all of the extra spending was dropped in the final compromise. To keep the bill within the limit set by the White House, negotiators cut nearly $3.5 billion for farmers hit by disasters last year.
There was over 2,000 head of cattle lost due to wildfires in Texas alone.
Dana Brooks with the American Farm Bureau Federation says agriculture damages from hurricanes are still covered by the bill, but not losses from droughts, fires, and floods in other parts of the country.
Only probably a little more than 200 counties will qualify for disaster.
Farmers say they'll be back to ask for additional disaster assistance in next year's budget. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
It's no secret the U.S. is importing far more than it's exporting, something on the order of $64 billion more a month. China doesn't exactly have that problem. That country has a trade surplus that grew to $13 billion last month. That's a record and a 44% jump over a year ago. Look out, Ben Bernanke's at it again. He speaks today to the American Bankers Association. The last time he opened his mouth, markets around the world went a little haywire. He was pretty blunt about the prospects for more interest rate hikes. The Dow is coming off its worst week in over a year. Last week, the Dow fell 3%, the Nasdaq tumbled almost 4%, and the S&P 500 also lost close to 3%. Things could be even more volatile this week. We get some inflation numbers from the government. This is Marketplace. Instant messaging can be a problem for businesses. Employees chatting with friends aren't getting a lot of work done. But IMing also might bring some nasty enemies into the office. Here's Alex Cohen.
Security experts found nearly 2,400 viruses, worms, and other threats known as malware last year. They're often downloaded when users click on a link appearing in the text of an IM. Andrew Lockhart is with Postini, an email and IM security firm. He says the malware concerns come as businesses rely more on IM to communicate with employees and clients.
In a number of different industries, IM is being adopted by customer support departments because their customers are asking for IM to be a way that they can communicate.
IM filtering services are available for a price, but the cheapest way to stay safe is to make sure employees don't click on links to unfamiliar sites. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By The Economist magazine, which not only tells you what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by SHRM and the Great Place to Work Institute, releasing the best small and medium companies to work for in America on June 26th at the SHRM Annual Conference and Exposition.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Senate Republicans are vowing to keep up the fight on the estate tax. Last week, they came very close to getting rid of it. Newsweek's Alan Sloan says, believe it or not, a lot of wealthy people should be glad the tax is still around. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Scott.
For heaven's sakes, why?
Well, first, let me tell you, there's a difference between the well-off and the small rich, who are better off the way things are, and the big rich, who are worse off the way things are. And there are a lot more small rich than there are big rich.
Well, maybe I'm missing something, but no tax versus 45% tax?
Well, it goes like this. In the year 2009, you get to exempt from tax estates of up to $3.5 million for one person, or really $7 million for a married couple. Their heirs get a tax break. However, under the repeal legislation, they wouldn't get to do this. And when you do the math, you discover 65,000 estates are better off under the 2009 rules than they are under full repeal, and only 7,500 estates are better off under full repeal.
Well, if only a few people with these huge, huge estates would be affected, why do you think that this became such a big issue?
Because it sounds like a big issue, because it's been marketed extremely cleverly. And let me just say for the record that the two biggest estates coming down the road in the United States are Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Warren Buffett is urging that some form of estate tax be left, and Gates' father is involved in something called Responsible Wealth, which is an organization wanting some sort of estate tax to stay in force. So it's not as if there's some sort of unilateral thing among the big rich. This has been seized on by a handful of people, marketed extremely cleverly for years. The debate is all about emotions and images and carrying on and large phoniness.
But you do have a dog in this fight, so I guess we should disclose that, right?
Sure, my dog is. If this were 2009 and tomorrow my wife and I were run over by an angered listener to this program, I think my estate would be somewhere in the $1.3 million to $3.5 million range, much of which would be my house, by the way. But, you know, I'm just offended by the low level of the debate in Washington about fiscal matters and the high level of emotion and the low level of truth.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He's back in another week with an edition of the Sloan Sessions. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. You thought food on the front lines was tasteless? Think